We began this section last week in talking about just some basic things here, just about these next statements that James is going to make. We're talking about the wisdom that James shares with us, the wisdom to hear and to do. And part of what we were looking at last week, just to kind of lay the foundation for those of you who weren't with us then, what we see happening here in the words that James shares in this particular part is, in a lot of ways, it's reflecting the teachings of his older brother Jesus. And we looked at two parables that Jesus told that focus on this very idea of the importance of not just hearing the word, but also doing what it says. The first one was the parable of the wise and foolish builders, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, where Jesus talks about those who, he says, everyone who hears and puts into practice the words is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. But everyone who hears and doesn't put into practice is like the foolish man. And so the key is in this, it's that everybody is hearing the word, okay, but the difference is between those who actually do something with it, they put it into practice, versus those who hear it and don't put it into practice. And so again, that's going. James is going to be talking about the importance of those very same things. The other one was the parable of the sower that Jesus teaches in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. And there we saw, you know, Jesus there talks about four different types of soil, which represent the hearts of men. And basically what we see there is the same principle. The word is the same that goes out to all the hearts. The difference is what each heart does with the word. And out of the four different types, there's only one that actually takes the word and acts upon it. The other three types of soil are the ones who hear the very same message, but they don't act upon it. They don't follow through with it, and so it doesn't really do any good in their lives. It's not that some of the people are hearing the word more clearly or better than others. It's that they're just not simply acting on the message that they heard. So what we're going to see here is basically James is going to be talking about the same kinds of things. Keep in mind, within the general purpose of James's letter, as we've said from the beginning in this study, you know, he's writing this letter to people who are dispossessed. In other words, you know, folks who are on the fringe of their culture and society as Christians, which, as we said again in the beginning of our study, that identifies us. Christians are being pushed further and further to the edges of society, and the question is not, you know, what do we do? The question is, how do we continue living our lives for Christ in a society that really wants to push us further and further out to the fringes? And so James is giving us this wisdom in how to really do that. So as we look at this next section here in talking about hearing and doing, the wisdom that James is going to share with us has to do with taking what God has given to us in his word and learning how to use it in our lives to make our lives closer to God. Okay? Now, so basically that's kind of the foundation. One other thing that we did talk about with that is that when Jesus was talking about, and also when James was talking about the idea of hearing God's word, neither one is referring to the auditory reception of the message. Okay? And as we said last week, it's not limited to that any more than when the Bible talks about faith and it refers to intellectual acknowledgement. In other words, when Jesus and James are saying, you know, you need to hear the word and do something about it, they're not just talking about the fact that we hear it with our ears. Okay, they're talking about hearing it in our heart, taking it in. In the same way that faith doesn't refer to intellectual acknowledgement, where somebody says, oh yeah, I have faith, I believe that God exists. That's not what the Bible refers to when it talks about faith. You say being saved by faith, it's talking about, again, acting upon, you say, having a faith in the heart that causes me to act upon what I have. It's talking about a relationship with God, not just the intellectual realization or acknowledgement that, yes, God exists. So let's talk about the idea of clearing the ground, okay? As we look at this next part that James is going to share with us about listening and doing and so forth, let's talk about the importance, first of all, of clearing the ground. And we've talked about this some before in other lessons that we've done. In fact, in my parenting material, this is kind of the foundation of the parenting material that I use. You talk about building or growing a garden, okay? One of the first things that you have to do if you want to have a garden is what? You got to have good soil. And what do you have to do in order to have good soil? What are some of the things that have to be done? But before you do that, what do you have to do? You got to pull out the weeds, but oftentimes, you know, there's rocks and there's sticks and there's, you know, roots and, you know, all those kind of things. I remember when Cindy and I bought our very first house, okay, over in Colonial Heights, back when I was a trooper, we bought a house over there. It was a brand new subdivision. And, you know, what they typically do, and they did it back then, they go in and they just scrape all the topsoil off. You know, take it out in truckloads and they sell it back to you. You know, when you want to get your yard growing, you can buy topsoil. Well, it was my topsoil to begin with, you know. But they take all that topsoil, and of course what they leave is the, you know, the lower soil, and it's got, you know, all these rocks and sticks and roots and construction debris. I mean, all kinds of stuff. They just throw out there in the yard, and when they're fine and get the house done, then they're grading over the yard and smoothing it all out. They just cover everything out there. So what I have out there in my yard, dirt. I want grass. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to till up this soil, and I'm going to replant grass seed out there. And so I did. As I was tilling and as I was cleaning, I got piles of rocks and sticks and shingles and everything else, you know, that's out there buried in the dirt that they had just covered over. Then I got the tiller out, and I tilled that whole yard, and it was a good-sized yard, three times. I went this way, and then I went this way, and then I went this way again. I tilled up that soil, got everything out of there that I could get out, and really loosened and broke up that soil. Then I put my fertilizer in there and my grass seed. Beautiful one. Beautiful. Here's my point. You want to grow a garden, you want to grow a lawn, you want to do any of that, you got to first get all the crud, all the clutter, all the debris, all the stuff that's in there, because those things hinder growth. Okay? So that's the first step in doing that. Now let's take a look at ourselves for a minute. And I think that we have to, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we need to understand and admit that we all experience different kinds of debris or clutter in our lives that keep us from hearing God's Word the way He wants us to hear. Okay? And if we are to grow in Christ the way God wants us to grow, then we have got to remove the clutter. Right? And that's what James is going to be addressing in this first particular section. Let me get somebody, if you would, to read for us verses 19 through 21 of James chapter 1.
Therefore, my beloved brother, let every man be strict to do, so to speak, so to that. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superficiality for the sake of naughtiness, and receive which with meekness is grafted
Okay. What is James talking about here? He says all of us should be what? Quick to listen and slow to speak. Well, you know, maybe you have said this before, or at least you have heard other people say it. I've heard it from a lot of people over the years. As I talk with people about the Bible and about their lives and things going on or what have you, they say things like, I know what the Bible says, but. Okay? I've heard people say things like, I know that God would not condemn someone or me for this. Okay? I know that we have a loving God, and He loves everybody, and He's not going to send people to hell for this. They fill in the blank for whatever this is. You ever heard anybody make comments like that? Or maybe you've said them or at least thought them yourself. Okay? What's happening here is that people are speaking their own mind rather than listening to the mind of God. Okay? So they're not really hearing what God has to say on that. Right? What we find happening in amongst people that are religious and people who for whatever their reasons are irreligious, okay, they like to talk about their own ideas, and they talk so much about their own ideas about God and religion and so forth that they never hear His ideas. Okay? They're willing to share all what they think that God wants and God likes and God does and doesn't do and all of those kinds of things, but they're not willing to listen to Him. To see what He actually thinks and does and doesn't do and so forth. And in order to really hear what God says and what He thinks about these things, we need to hold our tongues and listen. Okay? We listen to Him. We can't hear God unless we shut up and listen to Him. And that's a key part of this message that James wants us to understand. If we want to know how to deal with life as oppressed people, then we need to stop sharing our own opinions about everything about God and what He likes and doesn't like, and we need to just start listening to what He says Himself. Okay? And start paying attention to His words. There are so many experts out here, that are more than happy to share their expert opinions on every topic that you can imagine. Okay? And a lot of them that I hear, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for the opinions and the advice that they have. Because, first of all, most of it is worldly. Okay? It doesn't have anything to do with wisdom from God. And secondly, most of it that I've heard from folks is just plain bad. It's just not good advice at all. You see? So, we need to... You know, what James wants us to do, when he talks about be quick to listen and slow to speak, okay, if we want to find out what God has to say about things and what God is doing about things, we need to just shut up. Okay? As someone has once said, and I don't know who it was, but I think it's a wise statement, the reason that God gave us two ears and only one mouth is why? Because He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. Okay? And I think that that's You know, that's wise, right? James is telling us here, shut up and listen. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We like to talk, don't we? We like to talk. We like to let everybody know what we think and how we feel about something. Sometimes what we need to do is just close our mouth. Especially when it comes to seeking God's wisdom. And that's what the context here, by the way, is all talking about. The very next statement that he says here, after being quick to listen and slow to speak, he adds on what? Slow to become angry. Now, you know, not only do we need to shut up and listen to what God has to say, but we need to be slow to anger at God. Now, the principle, I think, applies here in the sense that I think most of the time we read this text and we're applying it in terms of with one another, don't we? Isn't that how most of the time you look at this? And you're going, you know, we need to stop talking and listen to one another. And, you know, we get into arguments and we need to be quiet and listen to what the other one has to say. I think those are great principles. I think they're true. I think the principle here applies to our relationships with one another. That I think it would be better for us at times to talk less than we listen. And certainly that we would be slow to anger with one another. But that's not the context that James is talking about here. The context is not about our relationships with one another. The context is about us getting wisdom from God. Okay? So, he's not talking about us getting angry with one another. He's talking about us being slow to anger at God. And you say, well, why would we get angry at God? Well, again, look at the context. We're trying to learn how to maneuver in this world and to live our lives the way that God wants us to live it. And sometimes what God's Word has to say to us is not very easy to swallow. In other words, we just don't like it. And in other words, we need to be slow to anger in our response to what we hear from God. That's what James is saying. Okay? When God is telling us that we need to get our act together, we need to straighten up, we need to stop getting mad at Him and start doing what He tells us to do. We need to stop talking about ourselves and coming up with our own, you know, excuses and our own reasons and our own beliefs about it, as we said a moment ago, and we need to listen to what He has to say and do it. And not allow ourselves to be driven away from God by anger. For example, go over to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Let me get somebody to read those verses for us. This is the story of Cain and Abel. Okay, you got it, Beverly? Read verses 1 through 7 for us, please.
Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it began to pass, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. He did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.
Okay, do you see what's going on here? Okay, Cain and Abel. Cain is a keeper of the fields, right? Abel is a keeper of the flocks. And I won't charge any extra for this part of the lesson, okay? God looks upon favor on Abel's offering, but not upon Cain's. And some people have said, well, the reason is because Abel offered an animal sacrifice and Cain offered a grain offering or, you know, stuff from the ground. Well, that's not the point. God wasn't upset with him. That's what Cain had to offer. That's what he was. He was a farmer. Okay? And certainly within the law of Moses, there are requirements for grain offerings and so forth. So that wasn't the issue. What was the issue? Why was God pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but not pleased with Cain's sacrifice?
Abel bought the best of what he had.
Okay.
Yeah.
The NIV records it this way. Cain brought some. Okay? He brought some. Where Abel brought the fat portions of the firstborn of his flocks. That's the difference. It's the idea of, well, yeah, I got some over here, and maybe it was some extra or what have you. I got some over here that I can offer to God versus, this is my firstborn, this is the best that I have, and that's what I'm going to offer to God. Okay? And so that was the reason that God was displeased. It had nothing to do with one being an animal sacrifice and the other being a grain offering. Okay? It had to do with, as everything does, the attitude of the heart. Okay? Now, so in this, it says, God looked with favor on Abel's offering, but not on Cain's. And what was the result of God's acceptance of Abel's offering and not accepting Cain's? It says Cain became angry. Okay? And his face was downcast. And then, what did God have to say to him? Why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you do what is right, what's the result of that, he says? Will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, then what? Sin is crouching at your door, waiting to devour you. And that is what James is talking about here. You see? That in that situation, God approached Cain and said, hey, what you've done here is wrong. It is not acceptable to me. And Cain's response to God's rebuke was to get angry at God. And angry at his brother. Yeah. Okay. If you read from verse 8 and following, basically what you find is it's telling of how Cain, you know, lures his brother out into the field and kills him. And so what happens is his anger led him to more sin. And so, again, the words that James has is that all of us should be slow to speak, okay, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So when we are listening to what God has to say, even if it is a rebuke of us in what we're doing, you say, we need to listen to that. And not speak up and run our mouth and make excuses and so forth. But we also need to be slow to anger at God. Because we don't like what God has to say to us about it. Because when we get angry at God, then the result of that may indeed be more sin in our lives. If you look down back over in James chapter 1, verse 20, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Okay? So again, we need to understand, as we listen to what God has to tell us through His Word, there's going to be times when we're not going to like it. Any of you ever found that? I do all the time. Okay? All the time. Chuck?
You do get frustrated.
Right?
What do you put it in? God is you. Haven't you tasted the milk and walked away from it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know I'm the problem. I might get frustrated because I'm asking for help and I'm crying out for help.
You start blaming God for exactly. And see, there's a sense, if you look at what James is saying, there's this pathway, so to speak. That we go to God. Maybe we're struggling with something, what have you, and we go to God and we're looking at His Word, or we're talking to somebody that's sharing His Word to confront us or to help us or to guide us or whatever. But the point is we're searching God's Word to find out what do we need to do, and we don't like what we hear. You see? Easy example, we have some kind of dispute with a brother or sister or a family member or whoever it is, and we're trying to deal with it. And, as we deal with it ourselves, what's typically going on? You what? Yeah, the devil's setting a trap for us, and so this is the problem likely to be resolved? No, it's usually getting worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, we're just kind of letting that thing stew for a while. And the longer it stews, the worse it gets. Right? And we're just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And, time goes on, whether it's days, weeks, months, sometimes years. And, we just that relationship is just lost. Okay? Chuck, what do we have to do? Quit digging.
Put the shovel down.
All right, and what else?
Okay.
We go to God's Word and it says, to do what? Forgive this person. We go, but you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how much this hurts. You see, what are we doing? We're talking more than we're listening. Okay. I know what the Bible says. I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but. I've never been there. See? And we know that's what God's Word is. We know that's what He's telling us to do. But God doesn't understand how much this hurts me. God doesn't know what this is like. Yeah, right. Just go and tell Him that as He watched His Son hang there on the cross. Something he didn't do, as if he didn't know how it feels. See? And so we don't want to forgive. We don't want to listen to what God has to say. We'd rather just run our mouth about how bad the other person is and how we don't deserve to be treated that way and it's not our fault and we want everybody on our side. We do that, don't we? We start gathering a camp around us too, don't we? See? Somebody comes along and says, you've got to forgive it. It's the only way you're ever going to be free of this. We don't like it. We get angry at God. That's how this process works. If we don't listen to the wisdom of James, that's what happens. And James is wanting us to understand, look, you got to turn this thing around. You got to shut up and listen to what God has to say. And just because you don't like what God has to say, don't get angry at Him. Swallow your pride and do what He says to do. And it works, doesn't it, Chuck? I'm wondering why I keep referring to Chuck about that, because Chuck has And if you've never heard his story, he's got a powerful, amazing story about forgiveness in his life that where he's been right down this road that I've been talking to you about, that he listened to what God had to say. Okay. That's what James is talking about here. Shut up and listen to what God has to say. And if you don't like it, too bad. Don't get angry at God. See? Because getting angry at God is not going to fix things. It's only going to make things worse. Just like it did with Cain. In other words, if God's word is rebuking you about something in your life, then you would be wise to listen to him. Instead of getting mad at God or at the messenger, believe me, I've had plenty of people over the years that got mad at me because I told them what God's word said about what they were doing in their life, you see. Instead of getting mad that way, listen to what God has to say, even if he is rebuking you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. The writer here quotes from Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. Look beginning in verse 5. You have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. You see, the reason that God is rebuking us is because he wants us to get whatever the clutter is that's in our lives, he wants us to get it out of there. And to listen to him so that we can grow in our relationship with him. Okay? Any other thoughts or comments about that part of it? Wes?
I definitely saw something in this that I never saw before. I never looked at it from the point of view that you were getting mad with God, you know, or just the way this, you know, just the way you could look at it that way. I more or less looked at it as seeing it getting mad with other people.
Right.
And, you know, that's not, you know, you're not portraying the image that God wants to portray.
Right.
Which is possibly still, you know, the same thing in a
right.
sense, but seeing it this way is I guess, it's broadening.
The whole new meaning to it, isn't
yeah.
it? See, I think that, as I said earlier, the principle here that we have, where we typically apply this in our relationships with one another, the principle is certainly there.
Yeah.
You know, that when we're having problems with one another, especially, if we would, you know, listen more than we talk and not get angry with one another, we'd be able to work a lot more things out. So the principle is certainly there. But again, as I said earlier, the context that James is talking about here is not about our relationships with one another. Again, the context of all of this, in this part that we're looking at, is about wisdom from God. You see? So he's talking about, again, us listening to what God has to say in our relationship with him. It's not about our relationships with one another. See? But again, the principle is there. But that's not the main point that James wants us to understand. He wants us to look at how we're dealing with God and trying to gain wisdom from him to live our lives and so forth. So absolutely.
I see that, but you saying, I don't know what the Bible says, but I know I should be doing this, but that but is what you are, your anger toward God, you know, realize it.
Yeah. Or just simply not listening to him.
Yeah.
You're doing what you want to do. You're talking instead of him. You know, and you need to listen to him. So there's no buts about it. You're going to listen to him or you're not. And not make excuses and not, you know, whatever.
Well, I was just going to say, I keep getting in the way of listening mm-hmm. to God.
Yeah.
It's because we want the God the way we want it.
Right.
Because I've heard it too many times, you know, my God wouldn't want me to be
right.
unhappy. Wrong. If you're doing wrong, yes, maybe that's what it says.
Yeah.
Well, how many times do we pray, Lord, give me a new heart, but yet we're not willing to listen to what he's trying to tell us.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, and you make a good point in that statement of being, my God wouldn't want this or that for me or what have you. Well, you know, so what have we done? We've recreated God in our own image, the way we want God to be, and so forth. And my God wouldn't do this, or my God wouldn't treat people this way, or my God wouldn't expect me to do this and put up with this, and blah, blah, blah. And we talk rather than listen to him when he says to us, yes, I do. And yes, you made another good point. You know, people say, my God wouldn't want me to be unhappy. Well, if what you're doing is wrong, then yes, he wants you to be unhappy. Because he does not want you to be happy doing wrong things. But you're not going to know that unless you listen to him. You say, and so, yeah, we've got to listen to what he's got to say.
Well, I heard
that's another story, and Jim and I have talked about that, and that's another example of how difficult it is, but the result is when we actually forgive someone for what they've done, how freeing that is to us, and that's what God wants us to be, is free. You know, but as long as we refuse to obey God, say, and actually do that, then we're going to be held as bondage. So, you know, that's just one area of our lives, you know. There's all kinds of other, you know, things. And so, which kind of brings us to this next part, and try to go through this before we finish up here this morning. We run out of time. You know, let's talk about moral uncleanliness. Verse 21, he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Which, again, tells us what's the context that James is talking about here. It's not about us listening and talking to one another. It's about us listening to God. Humbly accept the word. Okay, that word that what? Has been planted in you. Remember we talked about as we began this morning, preparing the soil, right? You say, we need to allow that word to be planted within us. The reality is that there is no room at the inn, okay, so to speak, for God's word in our lives when our lives are filled with filth. There's no room for God there. Right? And usually when our lives are filled with, you know, filth and garbage, there is very little interest in listening to God's word, what he has to say. So therefore, we all need to have a regular self-examination and clean out that which is unclean within us. We need to take a regular check, so to speak, of ourselves and be willing to do whatever it takes to get rid of the stuff that's there that is hindering the growth in our relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to have to pick up here next week, because we're running out of time. Let me give you a couple of verses to look at, okay? And then we'll pick up here next week, and we'll read these and talk about them. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32, those of you taking notes, you write these down, look at them. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, And then Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Let me encourage you to read those, and next week we'll begin with this particular part in talking about those, all right? Okay, thank you all very much.